Ladies and gentlemen, it is wonderful to be gathered again in our Father's house as we prepare for Christmas. And it seems like Christmas is imminent. It's like next week, right? But this is still not Christmas. This is Advent. We're still preparing. And it's good to take the time to prepare. You know, when we actually look at why Jesus came into the world and, you know, what he is rescuing us from and what exactly the incarnation is and how big of a deal it is that a God loved us enough to come and be born into this world for the creator, the one who with whom nothing was made that was made became flesh and lived among us. It's just an amazing thing. So this time of preparation is valuable and wonderful because it really helps us. When the time comes for the celebration of Christmas, we will be ready. So let us begin our service tonight the way we begin every service at St. Mark's, remembering first the day that we were baptized, brought into this family. The reason that we can be in our God's presence is because he has made us his own. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this night, for our brothers and sisters, Lord, who are gathered around us tonight, for the times that we get to, as a body, come before you and be blessed by you through your word. Lord, I pray that you would be here among us tonight, that we may grow in faith and in fellowship with each other. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. Please stand as we confess our sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated as we sing. First reading tonight is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The second reading for today is Isaiah chapter 49, verses 5 through 7. And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb is to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord my God, and the Lord my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servants of rulers, the king will see you and stand up. The princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. There's so little we actually know about the wise men. You know, there's just this little passage that I just read for you, and there's very little more than that. You know, they say that the wise men saw his star in the east, and at some point we're actually wondering, were they in the east or was the star in the east? I mean, did they come from the west? I mean, we almost don't even know where they came from. I mean, the best guess is they came from someplace else in Mesopotamia, but we really just don't know. We don't know what happened after this whole tale either. You know, that they came from wherever they came from. They had their talk with the King Herod. King Herod sent them on with a little bit of more information. The star led them to the house. They saw the Christ child. They left their gifts and they went home by another route after being told by an angel that King Herod wasn't to be trusted. And that is the last thing we hear of them. But one thing we do know about these guys, and that is that they were interested in finding the truth. They were looking at the stars, trying to figure out what this world was all about. They were trying to answer questions using their reason and the stars. And here's the crazy thing. God in his mercy revealed to them the truth about Jesus using the language that they were trying to use. I mean, it's such a strange thing, you know, for us to think in terms of, well, we're going to find some sort of meaning in the stars. I mean, who really would expect the stars to be able to guide us or to tell us anything about the truth of this world? But in this case, God used them to do exactly that. We don't know how they saw it. We don't, you know, there's people who are like trying to unwind the stars and try to figure out what the sky looked like at the time that the Magi were looking up and following the star, and they're trying to figure out exactly what they saw. But here's what I know. Whatever they saw gave them this information, because when they came to Herod, they had a very specific question. They said, "Where is the one who is born to be the king of the Jews?" Oddly specific. Somehow the stars told them this because God revealed it to them. What a gracious God we have. A gracious God that drives people to seek truth. He makes us curious, and then he leaves clues, even in creation, to guide us to the right answers. There's a guy named Justin, lived long time ago. It was like in the beginning of the second century. And he really wanted to understand God. He wanted to understand what it was that God was doing in the world, how God relates to us, how we would know him. He just wanted to understand. And so he started pursuing knowledge, and he went to different philosophies of the day, and there was a lot of different philosophies back then. You know, the Greeks had been strong way before the Romans, and so this, I mean, there was a lot of different ways of thinking about the physical world and the just trying to figure out truth. And he went through the different philosophies one by one, and he couldn't find any that gave him any kind of sense of this is actually correct. They just never produced the satisfaction he was looking for. And then one day he was walking and he bumped into this old man. The old man happened to be a Christian. And while this old, while Justin was walking around asking questions and trying to figure things out and trying to say what he think he knew, the old man just started asking questions. Do you really know this? Do you really think it's possible for us to know the character of God strictly from our wisdom and logic? Is it possible for us to know another person unless that person were to introduce themselves to us? Is it possible for me to know what another person thinks unless that person reveals it to us in words? Is it possible? And Justin had to be thinking again. And then he said, well, I'm going to give this whole Christianity thing a chance. And he decided he was going to test it. And he tested it against, is it cohesive? Is it solid? Is it like, does it contradict itself? And he found it was solid. And he said, well, is it morally consistent? And it was morally consistent. And then he said, well, are the people really truly dedicated to this? And this was back in the day when people were being persecuted, actually put to death because of their faith. And he found that these Christians were absolutely committed. And he saw that their lives changed. He saw that what they believed made sense. And he became a Christian. And it fascinates me because the curiosity that God places in people's hearts and the very unusual and circuitous routes that some people take to being saved it's so interesting. But in the end, the people are always pushed to come back to the Bible. I mean, Justin couldn't kind of figure out whether God's teaching was consistent until he had really dove in and studied the Bible thoroughly. Even the Magi, right? They show up in Jerusalem, and who do they turn to? They turn to the king. Who'd the king turn to for an answer? The people who studied the Bible. Where'd they find the answer? In the Bible. Even the wise men were pushed to Scripture. But I think that sometimes while God is so gracious and while there are these circuitous routes and these unbelievable ways that people are brought to faith, I think sometimes we get lazy in that knowledge. We think, well, God will find somebody or someplace or somehow to save the people he wants to save. But we've got some news that needs to get out. You know, back in the Civil War days, there was a great big meeting in Appomattox. You know, this is where General Lee surrendered to Grant, in a farmhouse in Appomattox. And after that day, the war was over, which was really good news. And it wasn't just that the war was over, it was that the slaves were freed, right? I mean, that established the freedom of the slaves throughout the entire nation. And but the slaves weren't free that day. Not all of them. And the soldiers didn't stop fighting that day. because the good news had to be spread. And it spread really quickly on the East Coast because there was a lot of roads and a lot of travel and a lot of little towns. And they, I mean, you could get word out really fast. But when it came out west, not only were the distances much larger, but the war had destroyed all of the telegraph lines and the railroads and everything else. So there was very little infrastructure left. And so it took 2 months to get the news all the way to Texas. For 2 more months, soldiers fought. For 2 more months, people were enslaved. How long have we known about Jesus? How long have we known his birth? How long have we known his death and resurrection? How long have we known that the battle is over? That Jesus has won the victory? That we are free from our sin? That we have been made holy in God's eyes? And that we are to be his people in this world? And yet, there are so many people who don't know. It is an incredible thing to live in freedom. I often wonder how anybody can wake up in the morning and face a day with all the burdens of sin and the guilt that they carry. I mean, all the things that you would carry in life without grace and forgiveness. As we prepare to celebrate the coming of our King, as we get ready for Jesus to be born, to celebrate that incredible miracle of the incarnation, as we celebrate the beginning of Jesus' time on earth, let us prepare ourselves. Let's prepare ourselves by taking time to sit and think about the incarnation, to think about what it is God is doing at that time, where the people of Israel were, where the what God's plan was, and how Jesus was going to shake everything up and truly give us freedom. But also, let's share this message. Let's tell those in bondage that they have been set free. Let's help those who are struggling and burdened, the people who are almost without hope or without hope, that Jesus has won hope for us. And not the I hope hope, but the I know hope. The sure and certain hope of eternal life because of this baby who is born next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you are an incredible God, that you have loved your people so much, that you have held us up, made us strong, given us faith, and delivered to us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation through that faith. Lord, I pray that you would help us to share that message, to use this season so that more people can know you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now let us continue our worship service by singing. And as we sing, I do ask that you'd record your attendance in the folders that you find before you. And as far as the offering is concerned, can we grab that? Yeah, thank you. I'll get a couple of my elders here to collect the offering for us. Please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we enter into prayer time today, we want to keep Joshua, my son, in our prayers. His surgery is the 23rd, so that's next week. It's coming fast. And we also want to be praying for Becky, Wayne and Irene's daughter, who lives down in Florida, who has just found out she needs to have back surgery in January. So we want to be praying for her as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much that you are such an incredible Father, the one who provides all good things for his children. Everything that we need for this body, for this life, Lord, but also everything we need so that we can live in heaven with you forever. And that you sent your Son into this world so that we could be saved. Lord, we pray that you would continue to encourage us, Lord, in that knowing that we are that loved, that you sent your Son, and that he came willingly. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the ministries of this church, Lord, as we struggle and strive to love the people you've given us to love, Lord. Lord, I pray for all those who have received gifts from our congregation. I pray that you would continue to work in their hearts, Lord, and through our prayers and through the words that we speak to them as we deliver those gifts, that you would continue to draw them ever closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would be with Lord Joshua as he is heading towards surgery this coming week. I pray that that you would just be present through that entire situation, that, Lord, that the surgery would go well and that it would be very effective. Lord, I also pray for Becky. Lord, I pray that you would be with her, Lord, as they go through all the work and planning of where she's going to stay and how she's going to manage while she's recovering from this back surgery. Lord, I pray that you would be part of that, and that you would smooth the plans and make things work, so that she can recover, Lord, without additional anxiety. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each of us, Lord, as we prepare for this celebration of your coming. Bless our times with our families. Help us, Lord, so that we can be the witnesses to you that are of you that you desire us to be. All this we pray, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Now let's receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's sing the final song together. My friends, thank you for worshiping with us again tonight. I wish you a happy Advent, and I guess I'll see you Sunday, but then after that I won't see you until after Christmas, which is just strange. I just can't get over that. I haven't missed a Christmas here in more than 20 years, so it's weird, huh? Anyway, but blessings, folks. Do please keep Joshua in your prayers. I really do appreciate that. Thanks, guys.